Great job playing that fiddle, amen. I enjoyed that, didn't you? I'm so glad Jesus paid it all. Acts chapter 14, verse number 19. We learned this morning about the real God and that paganism is alive, but their gods are not. We need to stay away from the mysticism and the witches and the goblins and the ghosts and all that details. Let's stay away from that. As Christians, we don't need to even be near that, be involved in that. We thank the Lord for the testimony of Paul and Barnabas, who vocally, outwardly opposed that. They didn't sit back and cowardly walk away, but they oppose that outwardly. And I thank the Lord for that. Acts chapter 14, now we see in verse number 19 that as they're preaching there in Lystra and Derbe, that they are actually some people, some of the people that were mad at them in Antioch, Persida, and also in Iconium, came to stir the people up in Lystra to stone him, stone Paul. In verse number 19, and there came there certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. Now, I want to just stop there and think about Paul here. Paul was not new to stoning, was he? Can you imagine what's going through his mind when this is happening? Can you imagine what would be going through your mind if you were brought out? Lord, I'm doing your work. You're supposed to protect me. I'm preaching your word. What's going on? But Paul, it didn't say anything about that. In fact, as soon as the stoning was done, the disciples came and brought him in, and they continued to preach. Let's look at this. Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up and came into the city. And the next day, he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. And when they had preached the gospel, think about that. The next day. Now, he was just stoned and left for dead. And the next day, he's preaching the gospel. You think he thought of Stephen? You think he thought about holding the coats for Stephen to be stoned? You think he started to appreciate Stephen's life for Christ? You think he thought about how Stephen gave his life to Christ and his life was dedicated to God and how he was a martyr? I don't think Paul was feeling sorry for himself. I don't think Paul was looking at himself as a victim here. But he was looking at himself as a victor through Jesus Christ. And we see him dusting things off and going and preaching the gospel the very next day into Lystra and Iconium and Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. And when they had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed with the fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. And after they had passed through Pisidia, they came to Pamphylia. And when they had preached the word at Perga, they went down to Attalia and hence sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. They went back home, back to their home church, back to their sending church. And when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. And there they abode long with the disciples. I want you to look at verse 27. It says, they rehearsed all that God had done. Do you know that Paul was a finisher. In fact, he wrote to Timothy and told him that he had run his race, he has finished his course. Paul was a finisher. And I want to apply this passage of Scripture to us and plead and encourage us to be finishers. You say, Pastor Creed, I'm only 17. Pastor Creed, I'm only 25. Some of you are lying and saying you're 25, and you're a lot older. But you say, well, I'm not old enough to finish my course yet. I have a lot to give. And in fact, if you're here this evening, you do have a lot to give. I want to tell you, if you're alive, God has a purpose for your life. But how many of you know that there are seasons in your life? How many of you know that? How many of you know that you can't start another season until you finish one season? Amen? We need to be a finisher. And there's seasons in our life, we need to finish those seasons right. High school students, John, Jenna, I feel like saying Jingleheimer Schmidt, I don't know why. They're seniors. Jared, I'm not going to forget you, bud. You're seniors, okay? We're about to come on the Christmas season, right? You guys are about to finish. This is going to be your last basketball season, John. Last basketball season, Jenna. You're going to have a game where you put on the last time you put on that jersey. Last time you walk off that court. And that season is going to be over. You're going to walk down this aisle. You're going to come get your diploma, Lord willing, if you graduate, if you pass. Amen. And there's going to be a season that is over. Now watch this. I want to challenge you three to finish strong, to be a finisher. We're in seasons of life where some of you have just begun a season of life. Some of you are about to end a season of life. We have Lauren here from college. Is it your senior year? Well, you're going to be finishing something, aren't you? And you may go back for a master's, may not. I don't know what your decision is. But you're finishing a season. You have friends you've made there, people that you love there, people that will never call you. Trust me, I know. You'll have to call them and bug them. But you're finishing. You're finishing. And Paul is coming to the end of his first missionary journey. And he's finishing strong. Why? Because Paul is a finisher. And he wants to finish right. I want to see some principles of the finisher here tonight. Some principles of the finisher here tonight. There is a young man that was in the Olympics, 1968. He was running for Tanzania. His name was John Akamwori. I believe I have that right. he ran a long race there, and he was trying to finish and trying to be first place, but something happened. He wasn't able to finish first. He wasn't able to finish second. In fact, he was injured. He was trying to finish the race altogether, and he finally finished the race, this marathon that he was running. And someone came, a reporter came and asked him, why did you even finish? Why did you finish the race? It was already done. You couldn't win the race. Why did you even finish the race? He made this statement. He said, Tanzania sent me 7,000 miles not to start, but to finish. God has given you this season not to start, but to finish. Lord, help us as we look at this scripture. Be with us now. Speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. First of all, the first thing that we see in verse 19 and 20, we see an attack on the finisher. An attack on the finisher. Finishing is not easy. How many of you know that? Finishing is not easy. This missionary journey for Paul and Barnabas, it just was not easy. We know as we see them even going to their first couple spots, there were people that were speaking out against them. They knew it wasn't going to be easy. Paul was on the other side, was the one speaking against them. Paul knew this was not going to be an easy travel. This was not going to be an easy season in his life. But he went anyway, and he went strong at it. And this first missionary journey was a time that Paul showed that Paul trusted in God to finish his course. And then comes Lystra. They saw people saved. They saw people come to the Lord. Some people believed. But then comes Lystra. They had some great moments. In fact, him and Barnabas probably came closer together in fellowship. But then there came Lystra. God provided for Paul and Barnabas. He provided food. He provided raiment. He provided places to stay. He provided vehicles to which to go. But then one day there came Lystra. What happened at Lystra? The stones begin to connect. It does not give us detailed into the stoning of Paul. But if you study what they used to do in the stoning, how many of you ever been to the Holy Land? How many know the rocks over there are not small? How many know the rocks over there are not that smooth? They're not. The stoning, they would get whoever it is, the victim, the criminal, and they would place them in the center of this ring. And they would go, and it would be kind of a chaotic type situation where they would grab stones and they would hurl them at this individual until they felt there was no more life in this individual. And for them to rule Paul as being dead, that means he had to be hit by a rock multiple times. That means he had to be knocked out. That means there had to be an issue, maybe a concussion or maybe a medical issue of bleeding, where he looked like he was lifeless. And in seasons, in our seasons, there's going to be some attacks. There's going to be some hard times. But we must be a finisher. I remember my grandpa, he told me this. He said, you're going to ministry, you're going to be pastoring, you're going to be preaching. He said, never quit because of a hard time. Never leave because of a hard time. Don't do it. You know why he told me that? He followed up with this. Because after the difficult time, God has something great for you. After that trying time, after those stones have been thrown, after Lystra, God has something great for every one of us in that season. See, there was attacks on the finisher. But I also want to draw your attention to verse 21, and I want to look at the approach of this finisher. The approach of this finisher. Verse 21, and when they had preached the gospel, this is just days after he's been stoned almost to death. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and Antioch. They left Lystra, went down to Derbe, started preaching again. You're not going to stop them. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Paul still had breath. What was he doing? He was preaching God's word. He was using that breath to obey God. We have breath here tonight. We ought to continue. We ought to continue. But it says that they were confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to do what? To what? Look at verse 22. Confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue. That was weak. And exhorting them to continue. Continue in the faith. Now let me ask you something. Before Lystra, if Paul would have went there and said, hey, you guys need to continue. You guys need to keep on growing and keep on learning and being discipled and learning and growing for God and doing what God wants you to do. If he went there and said that before Lystra, it would have meant something. But after Lystra, when the stones were thrown, when he was on the door of his deathbed, and he got up and made his way to Derbe and continued to preach the gospel and came back to Lystra and said, continue. How much more does that mean to those people? Because he himself continued. You see, here's the thought. We have people watching you. There's people who see you. We have little eyes in this auditorium. We have little ears. Many of you have little children, grandchildren. There are young Christians that are watching you, and they're watching you continue. Isn't that exciting? This was the administration of this finisher. He was returning and confirming. He was returning and confirming. He was making sure. What were they doing? They were setting up churches. They were building churches. So what was happening here, it wasn't just a chaotic mess. They went and went, won souls, and that was it. There was a discipleship. Where was the discipleship? It was housed by the church. The discipleship was performed by the church. By the way, evangelism and discipleship is the heartbeat, is our marching orders of the church. You with me? It's not the marching orders of any other organization. The marching orders were given to a local church, an organism, not an organization. And Paul and Barnabas knew what they had to do to finish. They had to complete some tasks. So we see here, there was the administration of the finisher. There's the approach of the finisher. Look at verse number 23. And when they had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. They established these local churches. And their approach was this: we're going to obey God to the T. Do you see how organized they were? That they weren't going to feed the hungry. They weren't going to house the homeless. They were going to establish New Testament churches. That was their job. That is our job. Our responsibility is given to the local church, not the building, the people. He wasn't establishing buildings. He wasn't building up bricks and mortar. He was establishing a body to carry out the Great Commission. What a great plan this was. You say, what was he doing? As he was finishing, he was making sure he was completely obedient to God. Did you catch that? Completely obedient to God. Some of us are okay with being 95% obedient. Well, we're pretty close to being fully obedient. But Paul and Barnabas, they wanted to completely be obedient to God. They want to do everything the way God wanted it done. They want to do God's will, God's way. You with me? God's will, God's way. Why? Because he was a finisher. Paul was a finisher. I don't want you to also notice, lastly, the accountability. The accountability of the finisher. Look at verse 24. And after they had passed through Pisidia, they came to Pamphylia. And when they had preached the word of Perga, they went down to Attalia, and thence sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. And when they were come and had gathered the church together, you see what they just did? They gathered the church together. They rehearsed all that God had done. What did they do? They do what missionaries do. Next week, we're having a missionary come into this church, and he's going to tell us everything that has been done in his ministry. We're going to get to see the fruit of what we've invested in. And when we invest in that person, we invest in that person's work, the God working through that person, we invest in that missionary, then there's an accountability for that missionary to that local church. How many understand that? All those letters in the back, you see those letters? You say, yeah, those are information letters. Those are accountability letters. Accountability letters. We give to missions, and they're accountable for the information that God has, that God, what God has done in their ministry. And what happens here is Paul and Barnabas say, we're not done yet. They didn't go and throw a party. Here's what they did. They knew they were accountable to this local church, so they went to the local church and they rehearsed. They talked about everything they did, everything that was accomplished on this first missionary journey. Wouldn't you like to have been in that service? I want to tell you, they did not have a video. They didn't have it. They didn't have the technology. But oh boy, did they have the passion. Can you see Paul limping up there? He'd just been stoned a couple weeks earlier. Paul limping up there, excited to get in front of the people and say, let me tell you what God has done. I guarantee you he didn't tell them about the stoning. He didn't tell them about the people who were mad at him. He probably told them about the lame man that was walked, the impotent man that came up and that walked. He probably told them about the people that believed in Jesus Christ. He probably told them about the churches that had been established and each pastor that has been put in place, and how that those churches are now growing and they're winning people to Christ, and now they're in an area and they're stirring people up, and the gospel's being stirred up all over the place that we just were. They were excited about that. Can you see how the church got excited about that? And he was accountable to that church. Now, you say, Pastor Creed, what is the application here? We need to be a finisher. We need to be a finisher. Some of you are finishing a season. Some of you are almost done with a season. Finish strong. Finish the way God wants you to finish. Detailed. Make sure you finish with accountability. Derek Redman was a great runner. You may have heard his name. He was an even greater finisher. Derek will be forever remembered for his staggering performance in the 400-meter men's semifinals during the Summer Olympics of 1992 in Barcelona, Spain. After years of training, persistence, and self-discipline, Derek was competing on the world stage. His dream had become reality. Halfway through his 400-meter race, Derek pulled a hamstring muscle and collapsed on the track. Writhing in pain, he watched the other runners quickly pass him and his dream of winning die, but staying down wasn't in Derek's blood. Though winning was out of the question, finishing was not. As the medical crew arrived and with a stretcher, Derek said, there's no way I'm getting on that stretcher. I'm going to finish my race. In a stadium packed with 65,000 fans and with millions viewing around the world, their attention was not on the lead, but on Derek. As he slowly struggled to his feet in spite of the agonizing pain, he began hobbling down towards the finish line in last place. Tears began to stream down his face as his heart filled with disappointment, yet he was determined to finish the race. Up in the top of the stands, someone stood up, began to run past the security, past the crowd, over the fence. Nothing was going to stop this man. And onto the track, he looked his son in the eyes. It was Derek's father. He said, "Derek, it's me." Derek looked back and said, "Dad, I have to finish the race." His father looked up and said, "If you're going to finish the race, we'll finish it together. We'll finish it together." What a great point. We're running our race, but we're not running alone. Paul and Barnabas were together. You're together. Seniors, we're here to help you. We love you. Those finishing a season, I'm here to help you. We're here to help you. We're together in this race. We're running together in our race as a church, and God has us together. Let's all be a finisher and finish strong. Let's pray.